Welcome to the Divorce View Talk Show with your co-hosts, Joni Winberg and Rosalind Sadaka, your divorce mentor team. If you're contemplating divorce, going through a divorce, or are ready to move forward after your divorce, then we've got you covered. We'll even help you get back into the dating game. This show will lift your spirits, answer your questions, and guide you through the challenges you're facing. And our guest divorce experts will provide insights, tips, and tools to support you and the children you love during and after divorce. And now, here's your divorce mentor team, Joni and Rosalind.
Welcome to the Divorce View Talk Show. Hello, it's Joni Winberg, divorce mentor and facilitator of the live group coaching program called How to Emotionally and Financially Survive Divorce. It's always a pleasure to do this show with my co-host, Rosalind Sadaka. Hello, Roz.
Hi, Joni. Good to see you again. I'm Rosalind Sadaka. I'm a divorce and parenting coach and founder of the Child-Centered Divorce Network for Parents. And I'm very proud to be introducing our guest, Laura Jones, who is with two families now, and this is an excellent program you're going to be very happy to hear about. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Laura, I'm thrilled you're here. And we've got a really exciting title today. We're going to be talking about reducing your kids' stress during separation and divorce. And we all cover a lot to help parents more or less de-stress or work or help them with that feeling of being overwhelmed and confused. But today we want to focus on the kids. So, Laura, if you'd like to kind of give us a little insight to this and how this really is such an important topic for you.
Well, I think it's a very important topic because the stress that inevitably comes up during separation and divorce, you know, affects parents certainly, but it also affects the children in a profound way. And really the way that parents handle that stress can determine whether children adjust well or whether they experience problems later on. So if parents can get a handle on the stress that does come with divorce, they're really buffering their children from the negative impact of that stress.
Which it could be long-term.
Right. Parents will see immediate effects, you know, in behavior and emotional effects, but there are long-term documented effects associated with parent stress during divorce on children's physical and mental health.
Would you want to just touch upon that real quick to kind of help people understand?
So they've done studies where they have, you know, followed families from separation and divorce over the years until children become adults. And what they have found is that if parents react in a way that's unhelpful during divorce, and that can be via conflict between co-parents. It could be the way that affects the way the family's organized, or it could be the way that the parent interacts with the child. Those are the three major factors. And if parents can learn how to handle each of those effectively, then children usually adjust quite well. And in fact, some studies have shown that if parents can really handle that well, children of divorce actually show more flexibility later in life because they have to learn how to, you know, live in one household and then another or to kind of just adapt. So it really can be a positive thing for kids if handled well. Also, they've found with these longitudinal studies that kids suffer more physical health problems in adulthood if their parents are not effectively handling the stress during the divorce process.
So what would be an example of physical? I guess I'm not familiar with this part. I'm thinking more emotional most of the time.
Right. Well, yeah, and emotional is important, but and they don't know the mechanism yet. They think perhaps it affects the immune response. But what you see are higher rates of cardiovascular disease, and you also see if children have chronic disease problems like asthma or diabetes, they suffer more complications from those diseases.
I didn't know that. There was one topic that we are a question to the topic is when we were talking earlier as far as what's the most powerful gift a parent can give their child. And this is an interesting topic, but what do you feel is the most powerful gift a parent can give their child? during divorce and separation.
Mm-hmm. I think the most powerful gift a child or parent can give their child is their time and attention. So their focus. If they can find a way to kind of pull out of all of the difficult stuff that's associated with the divorce and really focus on their child and notice what's happening with their child and be able to just spend time with their child and communicate with them and listen. So really, it's time and then what the parent does with that time when they have with the child.
So as far as quality time, I know parents say I was there, and it ends up being sometimes more physically there, but mentally they're not there. And people know if you're not there in the conversation, where, you know, a parent could be thinking, well, as soon as we finish reading this book, I've got to answer emails, return a call, and throw a load of laundry in.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, and I think kids pick up on that when you feel distracted. So the thing of it is, you know, drop everything and really respect that child and give them, even if it's just 15 minutes of quality time versus 15 minutes of looking at your watch time, that's
right.
A lot more valuable. Anything
yeah.
Roz, too, on that?
Well, I totally agree. I think, and you want to be very alert and keep your eyes open for changes in your child during and after the divorce, because that's really key. Usually children will move either what I call inwardly or outwardly. They'll be outward, be more aggressive, bullying, start having grades in school deteriorate, lose a lot of relationships, and even get aggressive and fighting. Or they'll turn inward and start getting depressed, regress in age behavior like bedwetting, and even show signs of suicide if things get very dire. And sometimes parents miss those red flags early on. So we definitely want them to be very alert during and long after the divorce process, because each child processes things differently. You know, Laura, I wanted to stop and ask you before we move ahead, if you could give us a little bit of your background, because you have a very special background, and that's why you were invited to be a pivotal part of the Two Families Now program, right?
Right. Yeah, I actually have been running a community parent group here in Eugene, Oregon for the last 25 years. And the way we have it set up here is a lot of the parents who are going through separation and divorce actually go through that program rather than the court-ordered program that we have available. It was a parent in one of my groups who came to me several years ago and said, "This material is so amazing. You know, you need to create something for parents who are going through separation and divorce." So I partnered with Iris Educational Media, and we wrote a grant to the National Institutes of Health to create Two Families Now, which is an online self-administered program for parents who are going through separation and divorce. And the program itself was designed with parents. So we had several focus groups with parents who told us what they needed in the program. We also had an expert panel with people who, you know, representing all areas, you know, co-parenting relationship, parenting practices, and stress to help advise us in developing the program.
That's
so
great.
Now we have a program that's unique for parents.
That's great. That's great.
And it's very video focused, correct?
Yeah, it's a multimedia program. So there are videos, there are interactive exercises. There's an audio podcast where we do interviews with, you know, real everyday parents who are going through separation and divorce with two experts. And it also has printable resources that parents can print and keep with them.
That's great.
I had an opportunity to look through some of the videos and parts of the programs, and I was really impressed. It was compelling and engaging to watch, realistic, and then the information provided was really of value for parents. So you got tips and insights and advice and steps, things you can do. So each piece of the puzzle was offered to you in a very engaging way, and I just thought it was a wonderful program. That's why I'm so excited to have you on board to tell us about some of this.
Well, thank you, Rosalind.
That's great.
I appreciate that. I did want to say we have done a formal evaluation of the program, too, and we have found that parents who participated in the program saw a significant reduction in stress. They had stronger support networks. Their conflict with their co-parent went down significantly. Their relationship improved, and their children's behaviors improved. So it seems the program really has an effect, too.
That's great. Well, thanks for that. I'm glad we had that chance to be informed about all of that. Before we go on to the next topic, I kind of want to pull together the last one that we were talking about as far as that gift. And you were saying how if parents spend their time with their kids, but I think the highlight here, once again, is it's got to be quality time, and it's got to be a parent totally letting everything go and be present totally for that child. And just to kind of piggyback off of what Ross said, because you want to be aware and alert if there is a change in some form of behavior or personality, and it's hard to do that if you're not paying attention when you're with that child.
And
get rid of the technology. Shut that phone off. You know, it's like get rid of it.
I think that one of the most important things parents can do is actually schedule that time. Work with the child to figure out when they are going to have that time together, so the child knows they can count on it.
Good idea.
Create some rules together about the time. For example, when I'm working with parents and children to set up this time together, one of the rules that children often cite is no lecturing. This is not a time for parents to bring up all the things they're worried about or to lecture.
Right.
This is child-focused time.
Yeah, just be.
Right. Parents need to do whatever they need to do to clear their own agenda out of their head and simply be present with their child. Mm. Really present with an attitude of interest and curiosity about what's happening for the child. And as both of you have pointed out, really alert to, you know, any signs. But also just to be there, to listen to the child, to follow the child's lead.
Yes.
And participate in activities that they both enjoy together.
And I think it's important too, even I kind of see different things with people that I work with, and even also my daughter with her little boys, and she's not divorced, but I think just for parents in general, you know, it's like when it's dinner time, the phone is off, put away. So you're present while you're eating, and then it's kind of, you know, wrestling time because they're all three little boys and they like to do that. And then the bedtime, the bath, and that's a really nice chunk of time of being there. So through all those activities, something could come up that you've noticed, or maybe they say something if it's a quiet one and you have to pull it out of them, so to speak, but yet you're spending that time that you'll notice things. So I think that's an excellent idea. Kind of schedule that time. That's great. I didn't think of that.
Yeah. And I bet, Laura, that you focus a lot on listening skills for parents to understand. More and lecture it less.
Absolutely. In fact, with the listening, I would say that I wouldn't necessarily want the parent to have any kind of agenda. For example, we said look for signs, but they're going to see the signs naturally if they let go of their own agenda and actually just tune into the child. Mm-hmm. And we almost always have a lecture freeze time during that shared time.
I love that. Lecture free.
Wow. And that way the child can feel safe that they're not going to get ambushed during that time. It's really, truly just a time for them to appreciate and enjoy each other.
And I think when you build that bond and they feel safe and you've created that environment where they trust you and feel safe, when there are issues, they'll feel that they can come to you.
Yes.
Because you've already built that trust versus waiting to when they're teenagers and all of a sudden there's issues and you haven't built that trust. Well, it's never too late probably, but it's easier if they're younger to start.
Absolutely. For sure. And, you know, listening alone is a tremendous skill. Our program has several components devoted to helping parents learn to be more effective listeners, because most of us aren't good listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us are thinking about something else while someone's talking with us, or we're thinking about how we're going to respond. But here we're talking about truly just letting go of all of that and taking in. It's almost like imagining that you're an alien, you know, on a brand new planet that you've never explored before, and you're going to be there with your child experiencing them as if there's something brand new.
That's
and
exciting.
A lot can come up when children, you know, have that opportunity with parents.
I love it. I love it. We were talking before about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Laura and I had connected earlier. And can you touch upon that, Laura? What's going on there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, for all of us, when we're going through a separate, no, I wouldn't say all of us, but most of us, for most of us, a divorce and separation is a very stressful event. And when any of us, any humans go through a really stressful event, we tend to become very reactive and respond negatively. In fact, studies have shown that when adults are under stress, about 80% of their thoughts are negative. That's a normal and natural response to stress. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with you if you're having those negative thoughts, and it doesn't mean that you have to push them away. In fact, studies have shown that if you can just allow those thoughts to be there, and at the same time, connect with what's important to you. For example, many parents tell me when they're, you know, it's the first 2 years following divorce that there's the most upheaval. Mm-hmm. And many parents tell me that if during those 2 years, during that time, you know, they can just really remember their role as a parent and how important they are to their children. When they get caught in one of those, as one of my parents described it, tornado of doom. You've got all these negative thoughts whirling around. You know how tornadoes are. They actually pick up objects off the ground. You know?
All the stuff.
And you know, all of us know, when we're really stressed, sometimes we get into those cycles where everyone around us is affected. Mm. So there's some really simple things that parents can do when they get into the ugly to help bring them back to a place where they can be effective with their children.
Mm. So what would you, so the good is and the bad and the ugly, how would you kind of break that up? Or I think you pretty much covered it, but I didn't know.
Well, you know, I know we're not focused on conflict between co-parents in this program, but I just want to mention that the biggest predictor of problems for children later on following divorce is co-parenting conflict. Mm. Now, again, when we get under a lot of stress, we tend to be really reactive and say and do things that we might regret later. And so parents really benefit from developing kind of a rule for themselves that when they're in an interaction where they feel, and this could be with their co-parent, but it could be with their teenage child or their younger child, where they feel like they're beginning to be ineffective, they can say to that person, you know what, I care about you. Or if it's the co-parent, I'm sure at some level they care, but if they can't say that, I care about our children. Mm-hmm. And so I want to do the most effective thing I can do here now, and I don't think I'm being very effective right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go, whatever, take a break, make a contract with that person for when you'll come back and finish talking about the issue. But noticing those signs when you're starting to get to a place where you're being reactive and unhelpful, and pulling yourself out of that situation, finding a way to calm down, and then returning later to the situation can make a tremendous difference. We used to call it a parent timeout.
Because
parents,
like that.
You know, it's been my experience in the parenting program that we need timeouts way more than our children do. We often instigate these power struggles and things.
And Roz and I have a favorite word, to become conscious.
Yeah, absolutely. And so now we call it a parent moment, to just step away. You know, we teach mindfulness in our program, so step away, take, you know, three deep breaths or take a walk, and come back to it when you're refreshed and when you've gotten in touch with your values for the situation, which ultimately involve your child's well-being.
I think sometimes using sense of humor where you could say, whoops, you know, I need a timeout right now.
That's the spirit in which we intended it.
Time out. I'll be back. And part of it, too, is that you're not blaming anybody. You're just realizing you're for yourself. And I think that can add some humor, and sometimes that little touch of humor can really just, you know, end it quickly. But if you're taking some of the responsibility, saying that not you need time out, I need time out, I think that's pretty healthy and a great way, a conscious way of handling it.
Absolutely.
And that's so important, because we are at every moment being role models for our children. So they're watching how we're handling stress, or handling challenges that we are not happy about handling, it shows them that there gives them permission or not permission to behave in certain ways, and we forget that sometimes. So it's even more important for us because our children are watching, and you can't lecture and say, don't do this when mommy or daddy were behaving the opposite way.
And also, it would help the child, really, if they're seeing you realize that, okay, I'm reaching that level. I'm going to probably say something or do something I'm going to regret. I'm going to take time out. That would, to me, be a great, like you said, Roz, a great role model for that child to say, boy, I'm conscious of what I'm thinking right now or ready to blurt out, especially when they get older, and help them even in their adult, as they become an adult, to say, I need a time out, you know, to...
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, Joni. Studies have shown that when parents engage in this practice in a conscious and intentional way, later in life, their children are much more effective at doing the same thing. So it really does make a difference.
Well, to me, this is great advice for any parent because we all need all that role model, and we all need to be able to take some time out.
Right. Yes.
As far as Laura, is there anything else you'd like to add, like a last minute tip or anything for our listeners today? Because great stuff.
Yeah, well, I think the other thing, the other really important place for parents to be thinking about is, you know, when families move into two separate homes, all of the routines they had together need to be reconstructed. Mm-hmm. And so parents, if they... in, you know, building their new family, if they are able to have their children be involved, and children, very young children, can be involved in deciding what new routines and rituals are important for their family, they need to build a new family identity together. And it having a sense of identity, having a sense of family identity, gives them a sense of consistency and coherence, mm-hmm. and it's a great security for children. So if parents can be very conscious of building new routines and involving their children in that process, that will make a really big difference. Mm.
I think the key here is involving them to be part of the plan.
Right. Yes.
That's huge.
And I just want to share that obviously it doesn't always work out that both co-parents see eye to eye about things, and that rules may be different in mom's house and in dad's house, and children need to adapt. But they do adapt much more readily if mom and dad allow the other families to pursue life and not make the other parent wrong.
Bravo, Rosalind. That is right on. In fact, it's the conflict between parents that's much more harmful. Children do very well in two different households. After all, they go to school all day and then go home, and those are two different settings. Yeah,
that's awesome. Great point there. Yeah. So as far as, once again, the website, the best website for people to connect with you and other staff members and all of your videos and things, once again?
So it's www.twofamiliesnow.com.
Well, Laura, thanks so much for being on the show. It's really just, I hope, gave parents some tips and tools that they can just be aware of, and then, of course, follow up through your website. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And also, Roz, what's the best website for people to get a hold of you, too?
You could find my programs, or the resources I have, a free ebook on post-divorce parenting, coaching courses, and my own personal one-on-one coaching, all at childcenteredivorce.com. And I am here for you on any level if you have issues regarding divorce and parenting. And Joni, and what do you have up?
Actually, the best website is freshstartafterdivorce.com, and that's where we actually have the program How to Emotionally and Financially Survive Divorce. So it's actually a live one-on-one, I mean live group coaching program plus the one-on-one. But once again, Roz, thanks for being on the show together here. Love it. And then also, Laura, thanks again for being on the show. And for our listeners to watch this again, feel free to go to divorceview.com. And then also we have podcasts out there as well. If you don't have time to tune in and watch, you can certainly listen on your way to work. So thanks again, everybody, and tune in again next time.